This is episode 124 of Teacher Approved.
You're listening to Teacher Approved, the podcast helping educators elevate what matters and simplify the rest. I'm Heidi.
And I'm Emily. We're the creators behind Second Story Window, where we give research-based and teacher-approved strategies that make teaching less stressful and more effective. You can check out the show notes and resources from each episode at secondstorywindow.net.
We're so glad you're tuning in today. Let's get to the show.
Hey there, thanks for joining us today. In today's episode, we give our best suggestions for combating spring fever and share a teacher-approved tip for maximizing your class rules.
We start our episodes with a morning message, just like we used to do at morning meeting in our classrooms. This week's morning message is, what are you most looking forward to doing this spring break?
Most people have probably already had their spring breaks when you're listening to this, so let's look back fondly at all the things people hoped they were going to get to, yes. And I hope that they did. Deb was looking forward to taking off her winter coat.
Aren't we all?
Melinda said she was going to sleep with lots of ease. And I think she spoke for a lot of teachers who were planning to relax and rest. At this point of the year, I think that is the best kind of vacation.
Oh, hands down.
Ellen planned for a visit with her daughter who lives out of state. I hope they had fun. Nicole planned on not planning.
Yes.
Shelly was recharging by the ocean. Jealous. Lori was staying home, sleeping until 7 and going to the bathroom whenever she needed. If sleeping till 7 is sleeping in, man, I guess I sleep in every day. Well, not every day, but most days.
Dang kids.
Bill was heading to the northern coast in Oregon. And Lethanne wasn't going to be too far from Bill. She was troll hunting in Seattle. I want to do that. Sharika lucked out and got a spring break on a different week than her children's spring break. So that's a definite win. Chris was doing all the work the rest of us were skipping. She said, working outside with my hands, building a garden wall, putting stone on the pillars I built late last fall, maybe putting up a fence if I get that far.
Go, Chris.
And lots of people were spending time with kids and family and friends. Hopefully everyone got a nice recharge to help them through the last few months. We'd love to hear about your spring break over in our teacher-approved Facebook group.
Well, Emily, I think we might finally be done with winter.
Oh, it is about time. Feels like we haven't seen the sun in months.
And even if the weather does turn back to snow, as it sometimes does in the spring, my allergies have decided that it is officially spring, so I can't really argue with that.
Nope, I guess not. Spring definitely has its own issues to worry about. Besides allergies, we have every teacher's most dreaded affliction, spring fever.
Oh, not spring fever. If it hasn't started in your class, be on the lookout. Symptoms include short attention spans, increased arguing, general goofing off, and nonstop talking.
If you have any of these symptoms, please contact, no, not your medical professional, sorry, but we are here to help. And don't forget the symptoms of teacher exhaustion and headaches.
Yeah, spring fever is not a picnic for anyone, but it's hard to blame the kids completely because I totally feel it too.
Oh, I am so antsy already for summer, and I'm not even teaching right now. I just want to be done with school stuff and my kids going to school.
Yeah, it just kind of feels like you're finally waking up after sleeping all winter.
Yeah. How amazing would it be to sleep all winter, though?
I know. I vote for that every year, and I always get outvoted.
Even if we haven't been hibernating, we all start to get a little restless in the spring.
Now, if you could take the kids outside for a two-hour recess, spring might not be too bad.
I know. I would love to know if you can get your principal on board with that plan if you try it.
So how do we manage to be productive these last months of school when all we really want to do is frolic in a field of wildflowers?
I think you'd be sneezing while you were doing it, though. Okay, so frolicking is out. Two-hour recess is probably out unless you're really lucky. I'm not sure what we're left with here.
Well, I don't think there's much. Just kidding. Of course, there's plenty we can do to redirect this newfound spring liveliness into positive directions.
Because spring fever is a management problem, let's start by looking at our management plan.
We did a deep dive into management plans back in episodes 101, 102, and 103. You know, it's a deep dive and we got to do three episodes on it. So definitely go back and check those out if you've missed them.
As a refresher, a classroom management plan has three pillars. The first pillar is prevent management problems. Then we have pillar two, plan for management problems, because there will still be some even if you try to prevent them all. And the third pillar is predict management problems that are going to arise at difficult times like spring fever.
Let's take a look at how those three pillars apply to managing spring fever. Our first goal is to prevent management problems. And the key to successfully preventing problems is keeping students engaged with what you want them to be doing.
We talk a lot about the balance of novelty and structure in the classroom. Both of those characteristics are necessary for student engagement. When we tip too far either way, we have problems. Too much novelty and the kids are overwhelmed. Too much structure and the kids are checked out.
Now, here's where it gets tricky in the springtime. The kids are tired of the routine they've had all year. They are craving novelty. But they are only one overly loud assembly away from completely tipping into overwhelm and losing their little minds. You know that. You have lived that. So as the teacher, you're walking a very thin line between checked out students and out of control students.
One way to manage the balance is to add novelty to your structure. Maybe start with your seating arrangement. You could change it once a week instead of once a month, or try different arrangements to keep things interesting.
An unusual seating arrangement always feels novel to kids, but if you are strategic about assigning seats, the novelty doesn't come at the cost of losing the structure. Keep your little rascals as close to you as possible. Separate your talkative ones. That's tricky in the spring. I'm not going to deny that. It's going to take a little work to think through it, but it is worth it for the peace that it will buy you.
We have a digital seating arrangement tool to help with this. It includes dozens of different desk and table arrangements and lists the pros and cons for each one. Plus, we walk you step by step through how to assign your seats strategically so you can minimize the problems with those chatty little darlings.
Another way to add novelty to your structure is to mix up your regular routines. We normally recommend only having a couple of different attention signals so that students can develop an automatic response as soon as they hear it. But for the last few weeks of school, you know, go ahead. Why not mix it up?
So here are some fun ones for spring. Will you help me out with these, Heidi?
Yes.
Cheep, cheep.
Not a peep.
Hip hop.
That means stop.
April showers bring.
Students who listen the first time and follow directions without causing problems so their already tired teacher doesn't have to resort to eating all the candy stashed in the back of her desk.
Okay, I thought it was me flowers, but hey, do whatever works for you.
Another idea is instead of rotating class jobs, you could have the students write persuasive letters about why they should be hired for a class job for the rest of the year.
I always love when you can work in extra writing. Plus, this takes managing class jobs off your plate. So win-win.
Another way to mix novelty and structure is to give choices. We make sure that as the teacher, we can live with all of the options that we're providing. You know, that's our structure. But giving students that autonomy to choose gives us our needed novelty.
When I think of giving students choices, I tend to think it's more work for me. In the back of my brain, I equate student choice with big plans. Students could complete assignment A, which meshes STEM learning and artistic representation, or they could complete assignment B, which requires writing and performing plays where students rap about quadrilaterals.
Well, that is definitely one way to give students a choice. But it really doesn't have to be complicated. You can give students the choice of completing their assignments in pencil or in marker. You can give students the choice of working at their desks or under their desks. Simple choices can still be powerful.
Yeah, just tiny little switches can buy you a big boost of engagement.
Now, let's look at our second pillar of management, plan for management problems. And guess what we're going to talk about here?
Let me guess. What is our favorite thing to talk about?
Procedures, of course.
Don't fall into the trap of thinking that because it's the end of the year, it's too late to fix problems with your procedures. You've still got time. You can use our procedure rating slides to guide a class discussion on what's going well and what needs to be better with your students' behavior.
Or you could make procedure review just a part of your daily schedule at the end of the year. If you've got our Tell, Try, Tally talk slides, dust them off and choose one procedure to review each day. Or if you really need it, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. You don't have to do all of the steps. You can probably just get away with a quick review.
But definitely don't be afraid to have your class work through a full Tell, Try, Tally talk lesson if there's a procedure that's really gotten rocky. Once students understand that you mean business, their misbehavior will be greatly lessened.
Well, it will be lessened if you hold students accountable for meeting your expectations.
Oh, yeah, the hard part.
Yes. Especially when you're so tired. But if they sense that you are letting little things slide, they're just going to push everything downhill.
And that's an avalanche nobody needs. So make the effort to hold your students accountable, even though it's hard. Have them go back and try it again if they didn't do it right.
Hey there, teacher friend. Do you have a question or concern that could use a teacher-proof solution?
We'd love to help you out by answering your question here on the podcast. You can submit your questions to hello@secondstorywindow.net and put podcast question in your subject line. We can't wait to hear what's on your mind.
So far, you are preventing problems by increasing engagement, and you are planning for how to deal with problems by revisiting your rules and procedures. Now we are going to use all of our years of experience to predict when problems are likely to arise and make a plan to head them off.
Let's start with the biggest spring fever headache, which is recess. It's so good for kids to be outside, especially in the spring, but they're bored with the options. They're bored with each other. And now you're spending 20 minutes after every lunchtime recess unraveling all the drama that unfolded on the playground.
So let's go back to our engagement model. The structure has led to boredom, so we need to increase novelty. But we also need to do that in a way that isn't going to escalate the hyperactivity that they are already feeling. So one way to deal with this problem is to introduce some new recess games.
If you've listened for a while, you might remember that we recommend teaching recess games at the beginning of the year. But the end of the year is a great time to add some more choices to your students' recess repertoire.
That way you are making recess exciting again by creating new options, but you're also increasing the structure. By teaching the whole class the game together, you're making sure everyone understands the same set of rules, and that's going to cut way down on arguments.
If you can get your team on board, you can make this a grade level activity. Have the students rotate to different teachers to learn new games. One teacher can teach new jump rope rhymes. One teacher can teach a basketball game like horse, etc.
But that teacher will not be me.
No.
Teaching a new game like What Time Is It, Mr. Wolf is much more my speed. Nothing that requires coordination, please, for all of our sakes.
So as spring fever takes us all in its grip, remember to boost student engagement to prevent management problems. Review rules and procedures as a plan for dealing with management problems, and predict where problems like recess fights are likely to escalate and make a plan for how to nip them in the bud.
We would love to hear how you cope with spring fever. Please come join the conversation in our Teacher Approved Facebook group.
It's time for our procedure spotlight, where we highlight a classroom procedure or routine and share our tips for making sure it's running as smoothly as possible in your classroom. This week, we're looking at the procedures of recess, and we're discussing the question, how can you support students developing friendship skills, like how to ask someone to play, how to join in, etc.? Do you have any thoughts on this, Heidi?
Well, I think one thing that's really important is that, you know, we're looking at recess games as a way to keep students engaged, increase the structure. At the same time, we're increasing the novelty. But we also have to remember that recess is more than just the activity. Kids have to know, like, how to work together with each other and how to get along. And we really actually need to teach these skills. And obviously, this fits really well at the beginning of the year, but don't underestimate its importance of the end of the year, because new issues have cropped up in the past few months. And so teaching specific lessons on these regular playground skills, like how to join into a group that's already playing a game, or like, if you are playing the game and you see someone on the outside, how to have them join in, or how to solve a problem over the rules, all of those things that crop up, if we give kids the tools to manage it, then we're not having to manage it for them. And that just makes recess work better for all of us.
Absolutely. We pulled this question from our procedures and routines planning guide. This is a detailed workbook that can help you design the specific procedures that will make your classroom run efficiently and effortlessly. If you're interested in taking a reflective look on your own classroom procedures, make sure to check it out. You can find a link to the procedures and routines planning guide in the show notes. Now let's talk about this week's teacher-approved tip. Each week we leave you with a small actionable tip that you can apply in your classroom today. This week's teacher-approved tip is keep the rules alive. Tell us more about this, Heidi.
We make sure to introduce our class rules at the beginning of the year, but if you're like me, they then just become kind of a poster on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
If we want kids to actually be following our rules, we need to make sure that they become an important part in guiding our students' actions. This is especially important as we approach the end of the school year. So how do we do that, right? One way to keep the rules alive is to revisit them each day. In the morning, you can have kids look over the rules and decide which one they're really going to focus on that day. Obviously, we want them to follow all of them, but what are they going to try really hard at that day? Maybe it's be respectful or be kind or whatever rules you have. And then you can take that a step further and have them write down what rule they're focusing on and how they're going to do it. Maybe someone focusing on be respectful is going to try hard to use a whisper voice during centers or not touch the walls in the hallway.
And if you don't want to have students write about it, you could have partners turn and talk with each other about their goals for the day.
Yeah, that's a great idea for keeping things effective, but also quick and easy. You also can set aside a couple minutes before dismissal to have students reflect on if they met their goal or not. They could write it down and share with the class or with a partner. There's lots of options. But the idea is just to keep the rules alive in your students' minds so they don't get the idea that their behavior doesn't matter anymore. To wrap up the show, we're sharing what we're giving extra credit to this week. Emily, what gets your extra credit?
I'm giving extra credit to my new puzzle table. As you all know, because you've been on this journey with me, I am now a puzzle person. I have gone real deep, real fast into puzzle culture. It is now, I think, my whole identity.
I think we might need an intervention.
No, that's what Addie said. Why do we need? This is so much better than lots of things I could be doing. Okay,
it's not drugs. I tell myself as I pull
right,
out of
and
box.
I'm not on my phone as much. I'm being present with the children. Like, I don't know what everybody's problem is with my puzzling. Seriously, well, having a table for my puzzles is a real game changer. I guess it's kind of more of a board or a tray than a table, but let's call it a table. So my main headache with puzzles is that the most convenient place to do them was my kitchen table, but that made having meals a little difficult. So I tried some different solutions, like a felt mat that you could roll the puzzle up in, and that did work mostly okay, but I just didn't like the feeling of doing a puzzle on felt because the pieces would get like stuck on the felt while you're trying to slide them around. Ugh, I didn't like it. So then I tried setting up a card table just for puzzles, assuming I would only want to do puzzles once in a while. But now I'm doing one pretty much all the time. And so I didn't like having this random extra card table set up all the time in my kitchen. So I invested in this puzzle table. It's so far superior because it has an edge all the way around, so your pieces are always contained. And it has four like really shallow drawers that you can slide out to use for sorting pieces. And mine is on a Lazy Susan, so you can turn it, which is probably my favorite feature, especially when you're working on a really big puzzle. And you can even tilt the whole thing to work at an angle if you're tired of hunching over your table. And the ladies that organized my closet and garage a couple weeks ago texted me after they left to ask for a link to the puzzle.
Oh, wow. So, that is
something. Mean, I'm not crazy here. If you like puzzles, you understand. And Heidi just doesn't understand because she's an outsider to the puzzle world. Okay. So if you too are a serious puzzler now or you want to become one, I will link the puzzle table in the show notes. Heidi, what is your extra credit so I can make fun of your extra credit?
Well, I can't touch that. That's amazing. I feel like we've been on such a journey the past few months to go from 0 to 60 like that.
Mm-hmm.
But good for you. It is a really pretty like tray table thing set up.
I know. It looks nice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my extra credit goes to Julian Sewell on Instagram. I'm sure he's also on TikTok. He is a teacher from New Zealand. Okay. Stay with me. It takes a little bit of an explanation. So last year around the Oscars, he made like a silly video pretending to be a bunch of fictional actresses as their nominations were mentioned. And it took off. And all year he's been adding to the backstories of these actresses, and especially everyone's favorite, Paloma Diamond. I just have to smile even saying her name. I love her so much. The past few months, he's been putting out trailers for this year's fake Best Actress nominees. They're so funny. But my absolute favorite part are not the videos, it's the comments on the videos. And honestly, how often can you say that on social media, that the comments are the best part? So here are a few of my favorite comments from Paloma's trailer for Breathe. Someone said, "It is the film that defined a generation." "I think this really elevated the book, and anyone who liked the novel better is kind of being a lit snob." And this one, crack me up. "Paloma's approach to method acting pushes the boundaries of dedication and authenticity." This is like a 2-minute video. These just crack me up. And then there's also the controversy. People have big feelings. One person commented, "I don't know. I preferred Katharine Hepburn's portrayal in the 1948 original." And I wouldn't go that far, but I definitely think that Paloma's role last year in The Remedy was much more compelling, but her performance in Breathe was still a masterclass in inhabiting a character. So I will put a link to Julian's Instagram account in the show notes if you also want to get insanely invested in this made-up drama.
No, you really are very invested. Yeah. You have sent me many, many videos.
Every time.
It is very funny, and the comments are a hoot.
And like, it's been picked up in like magazines and stuff, so I'm not just crazy doing puzzles on the corner or whatever.
Hey now.
And if you happen to have seen this already, if you're familiar with his account, please come by the Facebook group and we can totally dish on Lorelai Lynch, because you know she is the worst. That is it for today's episode. Remember the three pillars of classroom management as you prepare to battle spring fever. And don't forget this week's teacher-approved tip: to keep the rules alive.
If you enjoyed this episode, we would love if you shared it with a teacher friend who might also be battling spring fever. And now I'm off to go work on a puzzle. No haters invited. And we'll see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Teacher Approved. I'm Heidi.
And I'm Emily. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow or subscribe in your podcast app so that you never miss an episode.
You can connect with us and other teachers in the Teacher Approved Facebook group. We'll see you here next week. Bye for now.
Bye.